السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته.
وعليكم السلام ورحمة الله وبركاته يا
أبا
شيخ.
عبد الرحمن، معذرة
نعم يا شيخ.
تأخرت.
نعم يا شيخ. السلام عليكم.
إن الحمد لله، نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا وسيئات أعمالنا. من يهده الله فلا مضل له، ومن يضلل فلا هادي له. أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله، صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم. ما بعد، I was a bit late to class actually. But for about 7 to 8 minutes, or even 10 minutes, the Zoom, each time I attempted the joining of the class, it threw me out that the class was full. Each time I attempted to join, it threw me out that the class was full. But JazakAllah khairan to the brothers, I had to message them to allow me to be able to join the class. May Allah forgive my late coming and accept our waiting too for His sake. Jazakumullah khairan. Our book on these days is Al Adab al Mufrad by Al Imam al Bukhari rahimahullah. And we were on Da'wat al Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the chapter that tells us about the supplications of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We repeatedly mentioned that the various instructions in the Quran, وَقَالَ رَبُّكُمْ ادْعُونِي أَسْتَجِبْ لَكُمْ وَإِذَا سَأَلَكَ عِبَادِي عَنِّي فَإِنِّي قَرِيبٌ أُجِيبُ دَعْوَةَ الدَّاعِ إِذَا دَعَانِ. All of these verses in the Quran, وَاسْأَلُوا اللَّهَ مِنْ فَضْلِهِ, and many others, قُلْ مَا يَعْبَأُ بِكُمْ رَبِّي لَوْلَا دُعَاؤُكُمْ, and many other verses in the Quran that obligates and encourages the Muslim to make dua. The best of those who followed these verses was the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. In many ahadith, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wasallam, he encouraged us to make a lot of dua. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in many ahadith, he encouraged us to make dua. He even warned us that man lam yas'alillaha ghadiba Allahu alayhi, whoever refuses to ask Allah and make dua, if you don't make dua, he said sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, ghadib Allahu alayhi, Allah becomes angry with such persons who do not make dua. So dua, dua, dua. But he did not just tell us about Allah's commanding us to make dua sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He also taught us how to make those dua, how to say what we want to say. He did not only say dua, say dua, say dua, no. He also taught us how to make dua. If you want to ask for something like this, say it like this. Say this one like this. Say this one like this. For example, if you look at the various dua that occurs about the various expressions of asking for forgiveness from Allah, just the way he taught us to ask for forgiveness alone, you would see that we have counted quite a good number of them. The expressions for dua, the expressions for dua alone, you would see that we counted quite a number of expressions that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wasallam would make by way of asking Allah for forgiveness and teaching us how to ask Allah for forgiveness. Those expressions we have learned from this book, Al-Adab al-Mufrad alone. There are many from the expressions of asking for forgiveness. One of them was the one we learned in class yesterday in Hadith 673, where the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he taught us to say, and he would say, Abu Huraira said, radiallahu anhu, كَانَ مِن دُعَاءِ النَّبِيِّ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَآلِهِ وَسَلَّمْ. That is for Hadith 673. He said, كَانَ مِن دُعَاءِ النَّبِيِّ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَآلِهِ وَسَلَّمْ اللَّهُمَ اغْفِرْ لِي مَا قَدَّمْتُ وَمَا أَخَّرْتُ وَمَا أَسْرَرْتُ وَمَا أَعْلَنْتُ وَمَا أَنْتَ أَعْلَمُ بِهِ مِنِّي إنك أنت المقدم والمؤخر لا إله إلا أنت اللهم اغفر لي ما قدمت وما أخرت وما أسررت وما أعلنت وما أنت أعلم به مني إنك أنت المقدم والمؤخر لا إله إلا أنت اللهم اغفر لي ما قدمت وما أخرت ما قدمت everything that I've ever done before now اللهم oh our Lord Allah اغفر لي forgive me oh Allah اللهم اغفر لي oh Allah forgive me ما قدمت everything that I have ever done before this moment وما أخرت. We also ask for forgiveness if anything ever happens from me from after this moment require me that you forgive me forgive me اللهم اغفر لي ما قدمت وما أخرت. Forgive me what I have done before now in the previous. Forgive me. وَمَا أَخَّرْتُ what I would ever do in the subsequent. Allah, forgive me. وَمَا أَسْرَرْتُ those ones that when I said them, when I did them, that are inside my mind, there are many things our minds conceive, and there are many diseases, there are a lot of concepts, ideas, thoughts that we have about things, about people, about events, and they are not lawful. Somebody did something, somebody got lost, or something got lost, and then you began to think that somebody stole what got lost. And your mind was upon somebody, you had started to commit a sin because you don't have a proof, you don't have an evidence to direct that thought to that probably innocent individual. So suspicion, al-hasad, jealousy, al-ghadab, anger, and hate, and all of these people have in their minds. Ma asrartu, those ones that nobody saw them except you, forgive me. Or in the secret, something happened. Or even in the open, something happened people did not notice. Ma asrartu, those ones that I did privately. Wa ma a'lantu, and those ones that I did in the sight of the people, people saw me, whether I said something or I did something, and people knew that I did it. They were errors, they were mistakes, they were sins, they were iniquities. Allah, forgive me. This is the dua. Allahumma ghfirli ma qaddamtu wa ma akhartu wa ma asrartu wa ma a'lantu wa ma anta a'lamu bihi minni. There are some of the sins that you know how much effect that my mistake, that my own shortcoming, you know the effect more than I even can imagine. Anta a'lamu bihi yani bil ma'siyah aw adh-dhanb minni. You know that sin more than me. You knew how the depths to which my sinning went. You know it more than I do. Forgive me. Allahumma ghafirli ma qaddamtu wa ma akhartu wa ma asrartu wa ma a'lantu wa ma anta a'lam bihi minni. Ikhwa, this dua, it has a lot of being humble and modest before Allah. The dua shows that you know that everything you had done in the past, nobody has the power to forgive you except Allah. You know that everything you had done in the future, or you would do in the future, or you did in the hiding, or you did in the open, all of them are known to Allah, Al-Alim Al-Khabir. You are declaring that Allah is absolutely aware of everything that you do, everything that you say. Whether the people saw you or not, Allah is well aware. This is what you are declaring in this dua. To the one who saw everything, it's when we go to supermarkets or other places, when there are surveillance cameras, they put notices everywhere. In lifts, the surveillance camera is everywhere. There is one renewed self-consciousness that comes to the mind. I don't know whether people have that consciousness. If I get into a lift or a supermarket or an office or a hotel, anywhere, there's one increased self-consciousness that comes to the mind about not ever making a mistake there. Why? There is a surveillance camera looking at you. So you compose yourself. You, how about Allah seeing you, not needing a surveillance camera? And yet He knows, He sees, He hears what goes on even inside your mind. Allah said, يَعْلَمُ خَائِنَةَ الْأَعْيُنِ وَمَا تُخْفِي الصُّدُورِ. Those sights, those glances that you steal. You know how we steal glances? How we steal sights? You want to look at something, you behave as if you did not see it. But in fact, by the corners of your eyes, you are actually looking at that thing. But you will give an impression that you are not even aware that thing is there. Kha'inatul a'yun, the deceits of sight, the deceits, deceptive glances that you cast, Allah knows it. Wa ma tukhfi sudur, likewise what the hearts conceal, Allah is absolutely aware of all of them. This is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You are now saying to Him, ighfirli. Allahumma ighfirli ma qaddamtu wa ma akhartu wa ma asrartu wa ma a'lantu. This dua also has inside it the meaning that you recognize that is the one capable of punishing you for your sins, subhanahu wa ta'ala. Why? Because if you are not begging, if you are begging Him with this kind of desire, with this kind of attention, with this kind of humility, and with this kind of declaration of His power, you are doing so because you recognize that He truly has power over you. So that's why you beg for His pardon. That's why you beg for His forgiveness. So this dua has a lot of things inside it in terms of meaning. Then you declare that innaka antal muqaddimu wal mu'akhiru. You are the one who absolutely muqaddimu. You put things forward and you delay what you want. Allah delays what He wants, subhanahu wa ta'ala. He delays what he wants, and he brings forward what he wants. La ilaha illa ant. And there is no deity that deserves worship. La ilaha illa ant. Nothing, no person, no human being, no stone, no angel, no prophet, no VIP deserves worship. Illa ant. Except you, Allah, from whom I ask for this forgiveness and pardon for my iniquities and my transgressions and for my shortcomings. Forgive me. Allahumma ghafir li ma qaddamtu wa ma akhartu wa ma asrartu wa ma alantu wa ma anta a'lamu bihi minni. أنت المقدم والمؤخر لا إله إلا أنت. I hope that it will be easy for us to commit this dua to mind. اللهم اغفر لي ما قدمت وما أخرت وما أسررت وما أعلنت وما أنت أعلم به مني. إنك أنت المقدم والمؤخر لا إله إلا أنت. So I want something and I did not get it at the time that I want it. Who was it that did not give it to me? I want something to be in a particular manner. Who is that after all efforts, after dua? He prefers that I get it at a better time that is more beneficial for me. The one who has absolute power of all these things is al-muqaddimu wal-mu'akhiru, the one who brings forward what he wants, the one who delays what he wants. La ilaha illa ant. There is no deity deserving worship except this Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In the next hadith we read yesterday, that was the dua of the Prophet again, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This time from Abdullah ibn Mas'ud, radiyallahu anhu. He said that kana an-nabiyyu sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam yad'u. The Prophet would supplicate. It was something that he used to do. The Prophet used to make dua a lot, sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. And you can see how concise and full of meanings. The expressions are few, but the meanings are vast and deep of the kind of expressions he uses. Don't go ikhwa, as we have repeatedly said. People go to a fast to ask for dua. So please give me one dua once I say it. There is no better person to return to for dua than the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wa sallam. You can see how powerful, how deep and vast his expressions for dua are. Copy from them, learn from them, make dua, pay attention to them, keep them in mind, and reduce your attention for the social media and other things of distractions. May Allah forgive us. Ibn Mas'ud radiyallahu anhu said, kana an-nabiyyu sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam yad'u. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, kana yad'u. He would supplicate and say, Allahumma inni as'aluka al-huda wal-afafa wal-ghina. O Allah, inni as'aluka al-huda. I beg you, I ask you for guidance. Everything that I do, guide me inside it. Everything that I do, be my guide. Wal-afaf. Grant me abstinence from indecency. Ikhwa, look at these two things. Give me guidance in everything that I do. When I speak, guide me. When I keep quiet, guide me. Let my silence be silence of guidance. what I think guide my thoughts. Guide what I think, guide what I consider. Guide what I pay attention to. Guide me in my mind, in my body, in my speech. Guide me. Guide my decisions, Ya Rabb al-Alamin. Allahumma inni as'aluka al-huda. Provide me guidance, O Allah. Wal-afaf. Keep me away from everything that is indecent, indecent speech, indecent actions, indecent jokes, indecently paying attention to things that do not deserve attention. Al-afaf. The man is far away from anything that is gray, not to say dark. He's far away. Any gray thing, you will not see him there. The gray things are things of shubuhat. The Prophet told us about that, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He said, "Inna al-halal bayyin," the hadith of Nu'man ibn Thabit. "Wa inna al-haram bayyin." Halal is clear. Haram is also clear. "Wa baynahuma," between these two things, "umurun mushtabihat," things that are not absolutely clear to everybody. Mushtabihat does not mean that the ruling is not clear. The rulings of everything in the Quran and the Sunnah are clear, because the Quran is tibyanan li kulli shay'in, and it is furqan, and it is bayan. Anything that is like this is clear. It is explicit. It is the people who may not understand it. That was why he explained. He said, "La ya'lamuhunna kathirun minan nas." Many people don't understand mushtabihat, things that appear good and bad at the same time, gray. This person that is begging Allah for al-afaf is begging Allah not to fall into ambiguities. Because the Prophet said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, وَمَنِ اتَّقَ الشُّبَهَاتِ فَقَدْ اسْتَبْرَأَ لِدِينِهِ وَعِرْضِهِ. The one who abstains from shubhat, those things people don't generally know. What are the rulings? People don't know. It is the scholars, in fact, the specialists amongst the researching scholars who know the rulings. They are the ones who understand the matter. So, but for the generality of the people, it is not clear to them. The one asking for al-afaf is also asking Allah to protect him from these mushtabihat, issues that may not be clear to be halal. Look at, he's clearly on halal. The Prophet said, "Istabra'a li dinihi wa 'irdihi." He has protected his deen, Islam. "Wa 'irdihi." He has also preserved his honor. So when the man begs Allah for al-afaf, what is he doing? He's preserving his deen and he's preserving his honor. He's preserving his deen. His deen is preserved. In terms of halal and haram, don't worry. You will never see him near haram. But mushtabihat, things people will be arguing about, it's tabra ali irdihi also. His honor. He does not want to get into them so that he will not become dishonored. People say, "Hey, don't bring this matter to me." Because he does not want anything that is dirty. Once it has issues, problems, hey, it's clear, it's not clear, is this? You will not see him there. He only wants to be associated with things that are clear and honorable, halal. And honorable, halal, conforming to his deen, and honorable. This is a thing that is honorable. You will not find people who are not upon sound level of honor on it. And that was why the Prophet said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that woman waqa'a fi shubhat, whoever becomes engaged in ambiguous matters, waqa'a fil haram. He will not know the time that he will get into haram. But that man, no, if it is not decent, you will not find him there. This is al-afaf that you are asking for in this dua. Allahumma inni as'aluka al-huda wal-afaf wal-ghina. Al-ghina is the wealth over which the individual feels sufficient. Alhamdulillah. Give me ghina, give me wealth, give me contentment. Some people are never satisfied. They are never satisfied. May Allah protect us. It happens with men. It also happens with women. But it's likely more common with women. When you give, say, okay, more. Say, more, 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 more. Nothing satisfies them. Nothing satisfies them. One time, somebody very close to me, a relative, wanted to buy some clothing materials. Say, what are you needing these clothing materials? Say, ah. He too, she too, she was thinking about it. What does she need the material for? She wears one cloth in 1 year. One cloth for one whole year, 365 days. Just one cloth. If she wears it until another 365 days again, yet these kinds of people may still be gathering clothes. Why? They still feel they need clothes. So they are still gathering because they think they need. Despite one cloth in 365 days. So al-ghina ghina nafs. The real wealth is when your mind feels satisfied. You are pleased with what Allah has given you. Alhamdulillah. It's okay like this. It's okay like this. وَقَالَ أَصْحَابُنَا From those who reported the hadith, perhaps Al-Imam Shu'bah ibn al-Hajjaj or Al-Imam Amr ibn Marzuq Abu Osman al-Basri, they say that there is an additional expression that is At-Tuqa, the fourth one. So you say, Allahumma inni as'aluka al-huda. What tuqa is piety. Allah make me a pious person. It's not just about living haram and halal and shubhat. No, it's not just about halal, haram, shubhat. There is the righteousness itself. When you live, when you want it, you beg Allah for it. It means from the ways to achieve righteousness is to beg Allah for righteousness. Allahumma inni as'aluka al-huda. والتقى والعفاف والغنى just four things اللهم إني أسألك الهدى والتقى والعفاف والغنى اللهم إني أسألك الهدى والتقى والعفاف والغنى in hadith 675 we have also studied yesterday it was the hadith of a very honorable, noble companion of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, Abu Darda. This companion went in the midst of the people wa yunadi bi'ala sawtihi, and he called out in his loud voice, yunadi, he was announcing out bi'a'la sawti, employing the loudest of his voice that he can employ. What did he say? Allahumma inni a'udhu bika min ash-sharri la yakhlituhu shay'un. Allahumma inni a'udhu bika min ash-sharri la yakhlituhu shay'un. O Allah, I ask refuge with you. Mina shari, from evil. How does that evil occur? It occurs in a form that la yakhlituhu shay'un. Nothing comes in between it in terms of goodness. Ikhwa, one straight long series of evil. So there is not even a breathing space for any sort of goodness. All evil. all evil, straight, long. Evil, long cases from one to the other, from one to the other, from one to the other. I think this is the kind of evil that Yorubas say, oh, ni bombe, you will never get out of it. May Allah not get us into evil. May Allah protect us. Abu Darda would say, Allahumma inni a'udhu bika min ash-sharri la yakhlituhu shay'un. Oh Allah, I ask for your refuge and I ask for your protection min ash-sharri, from evil that la yakhlituhu shay'un, nothing of goodness comes in between it. You know, sometimes someone faces serious hardship and then he finds ease, and then he faces hardship again after some time and then he finds ease like that. But that on a continuous note, the person is upon hardship, difficulty. In fact, when one ends, if at all it ends, another one starts. Something similar to this ikhwa is something about ghalabatu dayn, the burdens on debt of debt. Some people, it is from one indebtedness to the other. In fact, they obtain debts to settle debts. They get debts to settle debts. They get debts to settle debts, bigger debts to settle smaller debts. They run from post to post. And when the debts are riba debts, you know how troublesome it now becomes, how worrisome and dangerous it now becomes. When the debts are debts of riba, from one bank to the other, you are using one property as surety, another one as surety. So they run from both. They are never satisfied. They don't ever find ease. You may see them in big cars, big houses. They are not at peace. They can't find sleep. Why? Banks are coming, looking for them tomorrow, next tomorrow, sending text messages, sending emails, sending phone calls, asking for their money. Why? The man had used debts on all of his life from riba-based bank institutions. May Allah protect us from evils like this, evils that are continuous, always upon danger. Sometimes it is health. Sometimes it is health. Some have the sickle cell that's always in the hospital, always upon pain. May Allah ease the affairs of all such kinds of people who have difficulties with their health. Allah, we beg you to grant them sound health. Make life easy for them. Make the pains and the inconvenience that they had suffered, make it kafara for them, for the shortcomings that they ever had. And those who provide them care, parents, relatives, wives, husbands, fathers, mothers, who have been caring for people like this. I know one person like that. Although she died last year, may Allah forgive her. She was always from one hospital to the other. From one hospital to the other. And when you relate with her, she was a very kind person. May Allah forgive this woman. She was the sister to one of my family at home. May Allah forgive her. She passed away, I think, last year, from one hospital to the other. From one hospital to the other. And people like this are very pleasant, very nice in character, in speech, in behavior. But they were always of evil health. May Allah provide sound health to people who are in these kinds of conditions. and make the inconvenience kafara, an atonement for them. Whenever they pass away, make death a means of absolute compassion and mercy for them. Ya Dhal Jalali wal Ikram. So Abu Darda shouted to the people, saying that Allahumma inni a'udhu bika min ash-sharri la yakhlituhu shay'un. Wallah, I ask your pardon from an evil that la yakhlituhu shay'un. Nothing comes in between it of goodness. The man is just always in trouble. May Allah protect us. One of those who heard who was there, and that was the person reporting the hadith to us, Thumama ibn Hazm. He said, I said, after I heard that statement, Man hadha shaykh? Who is this old learned man who is making this dua? Kila. It was said Abu Darda. That was Abu Darda. May Allah shower his blessings on him. These were the lessons we took yesterday, and I felt to come across them again because they are dua, and we might have just gone across them. I want us to pick from them. There are 23 in all that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, his various supplications that Al-Imam al-Bukhari has cited under this chapter heading, Da'watu Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. I hope that we're able to pick some of them before we leave the chapter. And one way to help us be able to do that is to repeat them and not be hasty about them. We'll be repeating them until we gradually imbibe them before we end this section. We'll be picking them gradually, bismillah. Not in any sort of a haste. And then in the class yesterday, we had a few questions that were not able to give responses to. I hope that we can look at them. One of the elderly mamas had sent a question to me since about 2 weeks ago, requesting that we pay attention, but each time we came to question periods like this, I would forget the question. And I'll promise next class, inshallah. I think I can quickly go to that question to look at the question again. The question said, please, can you help me ask in class what to do when Allah blesses one with a husband who is of good character? He is of good character. He is sunnatic, and he does not involve in shirk. Very kind, very generous. He loves his mother. He unites family ties. He helps the needy. He observes the Hajjud every day since I married him. Subhanallah. He fasts on Mondays and Thursdays. However, with all these acts of kindness Abu Nasir always talks about, he still is talking about the man. He still falls into a very particular sin of adultery. He gets remorseful, but again he finds himself falling back to it. I am tired. Can I seek for khulu on this basis? Well, I think he is maftoon. He's tried. He's under serious trial. And I think three things will be useful for him. The first thing that will be useful, Ibn Allah, is the proper recognition of zina as a very destructive sin, ikhwah. Allah warned us never to come near. He didn't only warn us not to come near. He gave us legislations, laws, hurdles that will prevent us, because those hurdles are also high. He made those hurdles things we should not cross, so that if you don't cross those hurdles, you will not even come near zina. So two things, two ways he protected us from coming near zina at all. He places hurdles in front of us. The hurdles of casting our glances, God to the basar, lowering your gaze. Don't just look up, look here and there. Don't look. Remove your sight. From that is a hurdle of handshake. Allah prohibits it. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam prohibited handshake. Because if he likened it to hitting a nail into the head, nobody likes that. Nail is hit into the head of his own head. Somebody brings a nail and hits it into your head, as you would not like it. The same way you should abstain from having handshakes with girls or women. Then from the hurdles Allah places in front of zina is tahrimul khalwa in nisa, being alone in private things with women. Allah prohibits it. Being alone in privacies with women, Allah prohibits it. He prohibits looking. He prohibits handshake. He prohibits being alone with women. Many of the scholars have mentioned that private chats with women, when you begin to chat without need or necessity, just like you cannot speak to a woman without need or necessity, the same way you should not chat with a woman without need or necessity. Absolute necessity is necessary. If it is not necessary, don't start a talk. So a woman is not a person that a man can say they are just hanging out, it is haram. You went, you sat down with her, no, it's not lawful. It's not lawful. So when the same way it applies to your chats, when it is not a thing of necessity, don't open a discussion with a woman. When it is necessary, do it within the bounds of necessity. Don't go beyond limits, just as it is necessary. If we go to the market to buy something, maybe fish, you start the discussion, Mama, how much are you selling the fish? The woman says, I'm selling this for 100 naira, for example. I say, no, can you not sell it for me for 18? I say, no, it's 100. Please let me pay 80. No. Okay, how about if I pay 90? This must be a woman, because women are the ones who come down prices like this. How about if I pay 90? Say, no, if you pay 90, I don't want. I want 100. These kinds of thought. And you see, once, okay, give me the fish. Now she begins to cut the fish. If it is a fish with scales, she begins to remove the scale. If she's removing the scale and you find, so say, ah, Mama, please, you have not removed hair. Oh, you have not. All your discussion is just about what you want to buy. And once you finish, she bags it for you. She hands over the nylon bag. You don't sit down there with her again and start asking her, where is her husband? Where are her children? You don't. Why? Because that has now gone beyond the limits of the necessity that transacting with her opens for you. So these are the kinds of things. When these doors are closed, Allah closed all these doors. The doors of casting glances, looking at a woman without casting away your glance. Then the evil of handshake. Then the evil of being alone in privacy with a woman. Such as being in an office with a woman. How many cases of evil indecency have we heard when a man is in an office alone with a woman in an office? How many managers and directors have become indecent with their secretaries? How many? So these bounds should be kept properly. Should be kept properly. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam prohibited it. From that is that women travel without a mahram. A woman is traveling without a mahram. When she travels without a mahram, any man can go sit near her during the journey or begin to hold conversations with her. And by the time you know it, she lands in places you don't expect. He lands in places he does not expect. A woman's traveling without mahram is also emphasized. These are hurdles that Islam has placed in front of zina. Don't cross these hurdles. So that verse when it says, La taqrabu zina, it includes don't do all these things. Because when you are doing these things, you are coming near zina. When it says, La taqrabu zina, that Allah said, it means don't shake a woman, it's part of it. It means don't be in privacy with a woman, it's part of it. It means don't become open, free in your conversations with a woman, it's part of it. It means don't travel as a woman alone, it's part of it. Everything that exposes a man or exposes a woman to a man or to men without a barrier and boundary, they come under La taqrabu zina, things that we should not do. Otherwise, it can lead to zina. But in all of these people, one firmly cross the boundaries. And when you cross the boundaries, you find yourself in the sea that you may not be able to control yourself anymore. So when the man shakes women, he casts his glance at women free will, and then he looks at women free will. The women too, their movements are not restricted. They go everywhere they like. Ikhwa, what is remaining? What is remaining? The man is right in front of the scene, and it is very destructive. Very, very destructive. He finds himself alone. He has been talking to her. He has been looking at her. At that time, shaitan takes away, because the Prophet said it, alayhi salatu wasalam. When a man finds himself alone with a woman, he called it salisuhuma. The third of them is shaitan. Shaitan makes her forget who she was, makes him, this man, despite his qiyamul layl, tahajjud, you will forget who you are. You will forget all of what you were doing. Shaitan makes you, keeps your mind away from righteousness. And then when he finishes, he realizes, ah, subhanallah. And then he begins to go back, you know, feeling sorry for himself. Shaitan had given a big hit against him, threw him on the ground. He begins to regret his indecency. So don't cross the boundary. One advice I will give to that brother is to observe these limits. Observe these limits. Don't cross these boundaries, because when you cross these boundaries, you get into that sin. There are other things too from that. It might be from home too. He might have a wife that denies him intercourse. So we should look at this aspect too, because the suggestion should be all encompassing. I know a case, this was in late 90s, early 2000, around 2005. Or 2004, a brother became indecent. And after serious investigations, those brothers who were involved in resolving the matter, we got aware that it was because his wife was denying him intimacy. So women, don't deny your husbands, don't deny them intimacy. It can be the beginning of their thinking. They are indecent thinking. The same thing, men. Don't deny your wives. Don't deny them intimacy. That's why from the kabair, from the major sin, is that a woman denies her husband, intimacy. It's also a sin that a man denies the right of her husband to her, to him. The rights of her husband to her. She has a right for intimacy on both sides. The man has a right, the woman has a right. And then avoid things like taking personal secretaries that are women. You go and start sitting with them in the office 8 o'clock to 5 p.m. She's in your office, you are with her. In fact, when everybody closes and director is still in the office trying to clear files, the woman is still sitting down with him. And the wife too is happy. In all of these cases, the individual is exposing himself to dangers that are, I always say, avoidable. They are avoidable dangers you are putting yourself into. May Allah protect all of us. From the things I'll advise this brother is to look well at his circle of friends. If you are upon good ibadah, look for people like you. You make Qiyamulayl, your family, whoever wrote it, knew you well, saying that you observe Qiyamulayl. Since you got married, it's likely that question was written by the wife of this brother. So you observe Qiyamulayl. If you observe Qiyamulayl very well, then you must not keep friends who sleep throughout the night. Friends who don't care about Salah. Friends who don't care about all of these things that you do. Go and look for your own circle of friends. From my observation about evil is that a circle of friends people keep really seriously influences what they do. The circle of friends. Their friends encourage them, arrange for them, and do so many things. Check your circle of friends. You may need to abstain from that circle of friends. From the things I also suggest to the brother, you may also need to completely go away from the place where you are living now. If you are living in the Western world, and you are making Qiyamulayl, observing Salat, and all of these, we said you should lower your gaze. Something indecent is passing by, you put your face away. The direction where you put your face away to is also something indecent. The minds begin to register indecency. Subsequently, he does not see indecency as indecent again. So you may be living in a community where you need to go away from. Pack your luggages with your family and your wives. Go away from a community that makes evil encouraged for you, that brings you in the circumstance where you commit evil. Go away from the community. Go away from the community that you preserve your honor and your deen is more important to you than that. You remain in a location because of naira and kobo, because of money you make. You are falling into indecency. You can go away from the community. It is very important that hijra is considered in this kind of a circumstance. Now, there's a question around that the woman is asking. Can she seek khulu because of this? Well, let us see. Bismillah, I beg this woman to be part of solving that problem for her husband. More so that you mentioned him to be a righteous, good person. It may be a means of trial for him, just like we'll encourage the man to be patient when he finds the woman becoming discordant. So the same way we say, oh, be patient, perhaps it may be, you may be, perhaps he will even marry a woman now next, that we continue to encourage him to become more indecent. So perhaps. So I encourage the woman. Even though this enough is enough reason for a woman. If a woman takes a decision, no, I will not help him. That's his problem. It is a sufficient. was actually searching. He was actually innocent. May Allah protect all of us. The reason, if the woman goes out of the marriage because of that reason, yes, she has a reason. And the reason is valid. But here, if she remains because of the goodness that she had described about the man to help him to solve this problem, he himself might have seen that's a problem. May Allah remove this man from this trouble. May Allah protect this man from this trouble. May Allah forgive this man from this trouble. I remember that a young man came to the Prophet Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. This hadith occurs in the Musnad of Al-Imam Ahmad. And he told the Prophet, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, allow me to commit zina. The man told the Prophet, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, to allow him to commit zina. So the Prophet, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, asked him whether turidu an yuf'ala bi ummika aw bi ukhtika aw bi bintika. Do you like that kind of a thing to be done with your mother or your sister or your daughter? He said, no, in all the circumstances. He said, then every woman is a mother or a sister or a daughter to another man. So as you would not like it, don't like it to be done. But the Prophet hit the man on his chest, he touched his chest, and he prayed for him. It's fitna. Many people are in fitna now. The social media too is a fitna. To many, they find it difficult to resist the various invitations to evil that they see on the internet using their phones. I beg Allah to help rectify this man. Make zina distasteful to him. Make him hate it. Make him never go near it. Forgive him what he had done before. Keep him steadfast upon the goodness that he was upon. And make his wife a woman of ease for him, a woman of righteousness together with him. I hope that very soon we hear information that Allah has helped him to surpass this evil, bi-idhnillah. Ya dhal jalal wal ikram. I'd wanted to, this is something completely separate now, announce that bi-idhnillah, our madrasa in Lagos, we started a madrasa idea about a year ago. Two things gave birth to it. The first one is the community where it is. I was in that community and I felt that the presence, you hardly see anything that shows that there are Muslims here. Yes, there are a lot of Muslims there, but where are they? And the masajid that you see, sorry to say, but we have to be frank, they are not effective. The masjid you see is not effective. How does a masjid become effective? The masjid becomes effective when the salat are properly observed and lessons are taught in the masjid. When your masjid, the imams pray badly, they read Quran badly, and then there are no lessons to teach the people and grow the people in their knowledge and iman, that masjid is not effective. So I noticed that the two masjids that I know, or three, they are not very effective. And it may not be easy to build a masjid in that kind of an environment. Okay, start a madrasa. So you can start a madrasa, an Ilekeu madrasa, proper, well organized for people, because Quran will be read, teaching will go on gradually, and it will spread bismillah. If you want to rectify a community, start with a masjid that is effective. Effective masjid is where the salah is observed properly at its time and there are lessons going on. If lessons are not going on in your masjid is not effective enough. Lessons must go on. It's from the major things for which masajids are built. So if not for a masjid, than a madrasa. So it was the first thing that caused this idea of the madrasa. And the second basic reason this madrasa is established is that although we are starting with the women, Bismillah will be starting, will come to start with the men. The first madrasa we started in Oshogbo, we started with men. And a year or two after, we started with the girls' side of the masjid separately. We say it a lot. There should not be no ikhtilat. And boys and girls are sitting down. You are sending your children to nursery and primary schools from a very young, early age. They become used to sitting with girls. The girls become used to sitting with boys. You are gradually killing their sense of feeling different from girls or feeling different from boys. And that's why things like feminism have grown. From a very young age, a girl begins to think she has a competition with a man, or they are the same, because he sent her to a nursery school or a primary school and a secondary school where she'd always been with boys. And this is not lawful in our religion. Then when they get to the universities too, they are there, boys and girls. When they get to NYC camp, they are there, boys and girls. So they are regularly exposed to the opposite sex, and that's not lawful. So separate the schools, brothers. Those of you starting schools, separate the schools. If you can't separate the entire campus, separate classes. Make boys and girls classes separate. Boys classes separate. Girls classes separate. Don't bring boys and girls in the same class. Avoid it as much as possible. May Allah make it easy for our brothers and the Ummahat who have schools to give separate considerations to boys and girls. Begin to train your children from day one. Boys separate, girls separate. So Bismillah, we are starting with girls, and I hope Bismillah, in a year from now, talks have started on it, we'll start the boys' side of the school too, inshallah. But it's a proper madrasa. The idea is that the girls who finish primary school, they are still struggling with Quran, still struggling with Tajweed. They have even hardly been exposed to Arabic as a language and the various sciences of the religion. They can come to this school. They will be taught the Arabic language properly. Bismillah. Not just conversation. There are lessons on Nahu, basic books on Sub, on Al-Balagha will be taught, bismillah. And then they will undergo lessons on Usul al-Hadith, Usul al-Fiqh, Usul al-Tafsir, so that they can read Islamic texts on their own, Arabic Islamic texts. They will not be asking us questions when they become 40. Can I say it in my local language? No. She knows how to say it in the language of Salat. And the language of Salat is Arabic. The language of our religion is Arabic. Unfortunately, parents usually care about learning coding, learning this. And they want successful marriages for their children. You have not sufficiently exposed that your daughter to Islam. She's a computer IT specialist. From a very early age, she knows everything, Python, Java, HTML, this, that. She knows everything. But you have not taught her the deen with which she will live with a man in marriage. So many women go to marriages. They know everything about life, but they don't know how to conduct themselves in the house of a man. I don't know any university where that is taught. You are running a course as an electronic engineer, as a man or as a woman. Do they teach you courses on how to manage a wife? Do they teach you courses on how to manage a husband? When parents welcome suitors for their daughters, all they ask them about is what course did he study from where, which university? Did they teach them courses on how to manage wives in the university? Do they ask sufficiently about their deen? Can this man who is coming to ask for the daughter in marriage, does he know enough of Quran and Hadith? Can he guide and protect this my daughter? Can he help sustain the righteousness of that daughter? Do we ask questions like this? Most parents are busy with the questions of comfort, worldly comfort alone. They are busy with questions that indicate research about worldly comfort alone. Ask for the two. Give preference to the questions on the religion. If the person is upon good religion, he has good family backgrounds. Don't forget, how was his father to his mother? Very important. Because your daughter will likely receive the kind of treatment that that man's mother received from his father. How was his father to his mother? If it was a wife you want to marry, you are finding out about, go and find out how is the mother of that girl to the father. Does the father see him as a good righteous wife? Or the father sees her as a good righteous wife, or sees the wife, the mother of the girl you want to marry? Do a good research on them. The point here is that many parents don't care when it comes to the science, learning about this world, when it comes to learning about the deen, about which they will live forever in the hereafter. Most parents don't care. So we thought that we should help them care. So it's a remedial madrasa, pure madrasa, for the young girls to be able to remedy their Quran, remedy their Arabic, and general exposure to Islam, have good knowledge of the religion. Maybe she has completed primary school. We want to remedy in 2 years, bi'iznillah. She will speak Arabic well. She will read the Quran well, bi'iznillah, with tajweed. She will also be exposed to fiqh, to hadith, and the general sciences of Islam. So she can read books in Arabic. She can read books of tafsir in Arabic, not translated copy of Ibn Kathir people talk about now. No, she will read actual tafsir Ibn Kathir or other books of tafsir by herself, bi'iznillah, if we train them for you. So we have opened, and the madrasa will be starting for lessons by next weekend, September 19th. We sent across a flyer on this. We are just doing our own. We beg Allah to accept it. Everybody has a duty. Everybody has a responsibility. Some of us, it is criticism we have. You sit down and start criticizing and talking. Continue to talk. You have not done anything. Please stand up and do something. For us, this is the little we think we can do to create positive impacts in the community of Muslims. Create an avenue for young people to learn the religion. That's all. Every adult you see today was a young boy before. And the things we did when we were young have serious impacts on us till today. Many things we did when we were young have impacts on us today. Why not create positive impacts for your children in the future by engaging them positively now that they are still young? So please, for the sake of Allah, think it appropriate. There are a few spaces left, I think. There are a few spaces still left, inshallah, to be covered at the madrasa. Call so that the school admin will pay attention to you. And then they give you details about the madrasa. It's 2 years. People send their children to go and learn coding for more than 2 years in Dubai. There was a year we were going for Hajj. That girl is not up to three. 3 years old girl. She carried a bag, she carried this. So there was another girl looking like a house girl. You know how house girls look. They have looks. The two of them were sitting with me. So I noticed that the house girl was being guided to take the other girl to a school in Dubai. Dubai, a young girl of three was taken to a school in Dubai. Then, this is more than 15 years ago now, a young girl of three was taken to a school in Dubai. The father is not there, the mother is not there. Because it is dunya. Because it is dunya. If it is dunya, people start saying, subhanallah, subhanallah. There is no subhanallah. Expose them as is necessary. Take good precautions. look well, expose your children, both boys. Bismillah, we hope that a year from now, unless if Allah provides us the means, because it is a very, very expensive, you know, course. It took almost 6 months to get here. When we started spending and gathering the ability to be able to provide good facilities at the site and the facilities, bismillah. Every person who goes there, you know that they have actually tried to make it comfortable. Because some people say, oh no, the place is not, it is comfortable. So may Allah accept it, make it easy for us, forgive our shortcomings, bless our children. And wherever I have a school, I make a lot of dua for my students, my children in the school. Allah make them blessed children and all the rest of our children too. Allah bless them. Whenever their parents set their eyes on them, let them, the children, be a means of joy and delight for their parents. This is my dua. If I'm making tawaf, Allah, I pray for my students in the school. Allah make these children that when their parents see them, they are glad. Allah make these children that when their parents see them, they are happy. Make them lights of deen in their homes when they go back to their parents. This is my own dua for parents, especially for children also when I travel for Umrah. I make specific tawafs for them. So these are things that we must do. This is my only two that I can do now. I beg Allah to accept them and forgive my own shortcomings too. Grant me guidance and ease in everything that I do. Make me a means of good for people. Make me a means of good for myself, for my home, for my children, and for the rest of us too. So, Ikhwa, this is what I felt I could give a little explanation about. The madrasa is situated here in Lagos, inside Magodo Phase 2, here in Lagos. So, yes, because it's always far away, it's no more there. Children from everywhere are accepted, wherever they may come from. In our Oshogbo school, we have children who come all the way from London. They arrive from London, they come to the school. We have children from Saudi Arabia, children from other parts of the world. So everybody wants to do something for their children. Please do something for your own now. Before the child becomes a child you can't control, and then the child becomes a means of sorrow for you. May Allah protect all of us from this evil. Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa ala ali Muhammad kama sallaita ala Ibrahim wa ala ali Ibrahim innaka Hamidum Majid. Allahumma barik ala Muhammadin wa ala ali Muhammad kama barakta ala Ibrahim wa ala ali Ibrahim innaka Hamidum Majid. Allahumma habib ilayna al-iman wa zayyinhu fi qulubina wa karrih ilayna al-kufra wal-fusuq wal-isyan. اللهم اجعلنا من الراشدين ربنا لا تزغ قلوبنا بعد إذ هديتنا وهب لنا من لدنك رحمة إنك أنت الوهاب اللهم آت نفوسنا تقواها وزكها أنت خير من زكاها أنت وليها ومولاها اللهم إنا نسألك الهدى والتقى والعفاف والغنى يا ذا الجلال والإكرام يا رب العالمين. اللهم صل على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما صليت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. اللهم بارك على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما باركت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك أشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت أستغفرك وأتوب إليك. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته.
وعليكم السلام ورحمة الله وبركاته. شكرا شيخنا. السلام
عليكم. أمين أبو عابر حاوي.
الحمد لله. جزاكم الله خير.
أمين أمين أمين.